Even shorn of her layers of protective clothing, Lady Sybil Ramkin was still toweringly big. Vimes knew that the barbarian Hublander folk had legends about great chain-mailed, armour-braed, cart-horse-riding maidens who swooped down on battlefields and carried off dead warriors on their crupper to a glorious roistering afterlife while singing in a pleasing mezzo-soprano. Lady Ramkin could have been one of them. She could have led them. She could have carried off a battalion. When she spoke, every word was like a hearty slap on the back and clanged with the aristocratic self-assurance of the totally well-bred. The vowel sounds alone would have cut teak. Vimes's ragged forebears were used to voices like that, usually from heavily armoured people on the back of a war charger, telling them why it would be a jolly good idea, don't you know, to charge the enemy and hit them for six. His legs wanted to stand to attention. Prehistoric men would have worshipped her, and in fact had amazingly managed to carve lifelike statues of her thousands of years ago. She had a mass of chestnut hair, a wig, Vimes learned later. No one who had much to do with dragons kept their own hair for long. She also had a dragon on her shoulder. It had been introduced as Talonthrust Vincent Wonder Kind of Quirm, referred to as Vinny, and seemed to be making a large contribution to the unusual chemical smell that pervaded the house. This smell permeated everything. Even the generous slice of cake she offered him tasted of it.
The shoulder, it looks, very nice, he said, desperate to make conversation.
Rubbish, said her ladyship. I'm just training him up because shoulder-sitters fetch twice the price. Vimes murmured that he had occasionally seen society ladies with small, colourful dragons on their shoulders, and thought it looked very nice.
It sounds nice, she said, I'll grant you. Then they realise it means soot burns, frizzled hair and crapple down their back. Those talons dig in too. And then they think the thing's getting too big and smelly, and the next thing you know it's either down to the Moorpork Sunshine Sanctuary for lost dragons, or the old heave-ho into the river with a rope around your neck, poor little buggers. She sat down, arranging a skirt that could have made sails for a small fleet.
Now then, Captain Vimes, was it?
Vimes was at a loss. Ramkins, long dead, stared down at him from ornate frames high on the shadowy walls. Between, around, and under the portraits were the weapons they'd presumably used, and had used well and often by the look of them. Suits of armour stood in dented ranks along the walls. Quite a number, he couldn't help noticing, had large holes in them. The ceiling was a faded riot of moth-eaten banners. You did not need forensic examination to understand that Lady Ramkin's ancestors had never shirked a fight. It was amazing that she was capable of doing something so unwarlike as having a cup of tea.
"My forebears," she said, following his hypnotized gaze. "You know, not one Ramkin in the last 1,000 years has died in his bed."
"Yes, ma'am."
"Source of family pride, that."
"Yes, ma'am."
"Quite a few of them have died in other people's, of course."
Captain Vimes's teacup rattled in its saucer.
"Yes, ma'am," he said.
"Captain is such a dashing title, I've always thought." She gave him a bright, brittle smile. "I mean, colonels and so on are always so stuffy. Majors are pompous, but one always feels somehow that there is something delightfully dangerous about a captain. What was it you had to show me?"
Vimes gripped his parcel like a chastity belt.
"I wondered," he faltered, "how big swamp..."
He stopped. Something dreadful was happening to his lower regions. Lady Ramkin followed his gaze.
"Oh, take no notice of him," she said cheerfully. "Hit him with a cushion if he's a bother."
A small, elderly dragon had crawled out from under his chair and placed its jowly muzzle in Vimes's lap. It stared up at him soulfully with big brown eyes and gently dribbled something quite corrosive by the feel of it over his knees. And it stank like the ring around an acid bath.
"That's Dewdrop Maybelline Talonthrust the First," said her ladyship. "Champion and sire of champions. No fire left now, poor soppy old thing. He likes his belly rubbed."
Vimes made surreptitiously vicious jerking motions to dislodge the old dragon. It blinked mournfully at him with rheumy eyes and rolled back the corner of its mouth, exposing a picket fence of soot-blackened teeth.
"Just push him off if he's a nuisance," said Lady Ramkin cheerfully. "Now then, what was it you were asking?"